From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, December 11th, 2012. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Does your company have a Chief Innovation Officer? On today's podcast, we're going to tackle the very vexing question of what's truly innovative in geospatial tech and whether there are any truly innovative geospatial companies or users, for that matter, that are doing something unique with location-based information. We'll discuss this and more, but first a word from our sponsor. Directions Magazine, already the global leader in geospatial technology news, has launched Directions Magazine India, featuring a weekly newsletter and topical webinars specifically about the growth of GIS in India. Point your browser to directionsmag.in today. And Directions will bring its Location Intelligence Conference to Brazil. On June 19, 2013, LI Brazil will be co-located with the Mundo Geo Connect Conference in Sao Paulo. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net. Thanks, and be sure to tell a friend about Directions. So, Adina, we posted a definition of innovation from Wikipedia, and my guess is that at some point you're going to use that definition in our discussion. But I noticed something else in the description of that really caught my attention, and it said, I quote, "Due to its widespread effect, innovation is an important topic in the study of economics, business, entrepreneurship, design, technology, sociology, and engineering. In society, innovation aids in the comfort, convenience, and efficiency in everyday life," unquote. And that really struck me. And I was thinking, you know, if you look at the pure innovations resulting from anything in geospatial technology, the one that really sticks out to me is obviously the global positioning system. Now, no one in GIS invented GPS, but the innovations that have since flowed from that launch of the GPS constellation are numerous. And you could tackle anything from surveying to portable navigation devices and now social media. And those are the kind of things that flow from an innovative standpoint. I also want to point to an interview with Tim Cook from Apple, and it appeared in Bloomberg's Newsweek. One of the things that he said here, I think, is relevant to our conversation. He said, quote, "The one thing we do, which I think no one else does, is integrate hardware, software, and services in such a way that most consumers begin to not differentiate anymore. They just care that the experience is fantastic," unquote. Now, if I look around the geospatial technology landscape, I have to come back to that word fantastic. Is there any experience that's truly fantastic? Now, I remember in my early days in the profession, to me, every day was fantastic. Using the software was always a challenge because it presented so many options. If I was to sit down with a piece of software today, I'm not sure I'd find the user experience and term it fantastic at all. We all get these demos, and I got to say, I don't know if there's anything that's truly a fantastic experience. So let me stop there and get your thoughts on what's innovative and fantastic.
Well, let's go to that definition. When you raise this as the topic, my first thought was, do I even know what innovation means? And I went to Wikipedia because, for better or worse, I think Wikipedia does a terrific job of getting at the heart of some of these issues. And just a plug, this being the season of giving, I actually gave money to Wikipedia this weekend because I use it, and I know there are plenty of people who use it who can't help support it. So let's go to the Wikipedia definition, and I'm just going to give you the beginning of this. It's actually quite long, but the beginning part I think is the most important. "Innovation is the development of new customers' value through solutions that meet new needs, inarticulate needs, or old customer and market needs in new ways." So that means you can't just do something clever. You have to do something clever that meets a market need, whether people know they need it or not. Sometimes there are things that come out that are just cool, but nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, color. That weird thing where you take pictures and people near you get to see the pictures that you're taking. right? Nobody cared and it shut down, and nobody cared when it shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was not innovative by this definition. Now, going back to the fantastic, I think innovation, because it hits a need, you do get that sense of fantastic and magic, those terms that we associate with Apple.
Yeah.
Because they've sort of claimed them. Now, you said that you couldn't think of anything, and maybe you were thinking sort of recently, that had that fantastic quality about it. But I think we have to sort of be a little bit historic here, because clearly these innovations do not come every month, every year, even every decade, depending on what the industry is.
Yeah.
So I think we have to track back a little bit, and I would argue that the first time most people played with Google Maps and Google Earth, they got fantastic. Did you get fantastic?
Yeah, well, certainly that was one thing. Just being able to see areas that I had traveled to years ago, and they were now much more realistic and you know, they were presented to me in a way that I could say, oh my gosh, look at that. And so you're right. That certainly Google Earth was one of those fantastic innovations. Going back to our definition, or going back to the description, which is they took something that really wasn't necessarily new, right? They took a satellite imagery, which we've had for years, and they put it in such a way that presented itself in a much more understandable manner.
And they filled a need that you didn't even know you had to look at those places.
Well, and isn't that what Apple seems to do every other year, right? You never knew that you wanted an iPod.
Or an iPad, for that matter, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so clearly, they get it. And the other half of that story, too, is the experience was fantastic. You wanted to play with both of those, I would argue, Google Maps and Google Earth, for a lot of time. Why? It was fun. It was intuitive. It was fast. It was awesome. You didn't want to leave. So that is a nice definition of something in geospatial that I think many people would point to and say, yes, that was innovative and it had that fantastic quality.
Well, and they didn't try to do too much with it, right? There was a visualization experience. You could add a few layers. I don't know if they've really enhanced it too much beyond that, other than the Enterprise Edition, which a lot of people do use. When you mentioned that, it took me to a place where another part of the of what Cook was saying in that interview, and I'll just read that, because he was asked, how many products does Apple have? And he said, well, we have a few. Quote, you could almost place every product that we make on this table. I mean, if you really look at it, we have 4 iPods, we have 2 main iPhones, we have 2 iPads, and we have a few Macs. That's it. And we argue and debate like crazy about what we're going to do, because we know that we can only do a few things great. That means not doing a bunch of things that would really be good and really fun, unquote. And I'm thinking, look at what some companies try to do with having every feature, every function stuffed through into a product. And these guys do a few things really, really well. And not even really, really well. They do them great.
I agree. And that goes back to this whole idea of focusing your company on what it can do, and then working very hard to figure out exactly how many products you need to deliver to the market. And I, for one, was very surprised when they got to having more than one iPhone.
And I do actually
appreciate the fact that they have a whole suite of iPods, because the big Gigantor one doesn't work for me. I have the tiny, tiny, tiniest one, and I'm hoping that will never go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's get back to GIS and LGS,
let's
try to find some more of that innovation, whether it's now or in the past. And I have to say, I think it really was an innovation to take these basic ideas of map algebra and the basic core ideas of geography and put them into a computer piece of software.
Mm-hmm.
That was innovation. Mm-hmm. That was filling a need. And the early innovators who did that, ESRI and Intergraph to name two, really did change the planet. You know, it didn't have the fantastic thing going that early, mostly because the technology was not ready for the fantastic that we think of from the consumer side. But I would definitely call those innovative.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. I mean, historically, because of the maturation of the product lines of both companies, what we can do today is really fantastic. And I had the opportunity last week to sit with Intergraph, and I'm not going to tell more because of the embargo, but they're going to be coming out with some very innovative solutions that I think will raise some eyebrows. I also wanted to mention one other company that I thought was innovative, and that's OpenGeo. And not that they did anything fantastic with the software-wise, except that they took something that looked random and nebulous, like open-source software, and put it in a box and made it tangible. And to me, that goes back to the definition of what you just read about innovation, is that it didn't necessarily invent it, but they developed something that the customer wanted and needed. If you really wanted to tackle open source, most people were kind of left like, okay, this is a piece of open source software. What do I do with it? And they put a box around it, and they made it something that people could go out and buy.
Yes, packaging is absolutely innovative. Absolutely. And again, they did not invent the open source software, and they did not invent the packaging of open source software. Red Hat really did that, among others. But they were the ones who saw the need in the marketplace, who had the expertise, who could put it in a box, and they are now players for that very reason.
And
again, to packaging, Apple did not invent the MP3 player, but they put it in a really nice package, didn't they?
Yeah, they sure did.
With a fantastic user experience.
Yeah.
That's innovation.
Yeah.
Let's move over to the LBS space and look for innovation. And this is where it gets a little harder, because as you pointed out, GPS was already there. Social media was already there in some sense. The question then is, how can you be innovative with merging those two things? And the innovator I would put forward in LBS is Waze. Not because they're sharing traffic information. They didn't invent that. They packaged it a bit differently. What's innovative about Waze is doing is that they're doing, is the purpose for which they're doing it, and the money-making part of it, is for them to capture, it's a data capture experience. But they put it in this LBS social space with a little bit of gamification, this little Pac-Man game that you munch dots and so forth. That's innovative. And it's innovative by definition because it does solve a need. I mean, people use it as a traffic tool. People enjoy playing the game, and they got that going for them. So definite innovation over at Waze.
Yeah, I guess my one example from LBS, and I would only give them kind of the partial innovative award, would be Foursquare. If they are able to take Foursquare to a different level than what it is now, then I think that they will be on the cusp of something very innovative. And I think it's that their partnerships with retail. If they can get it to the point where the user will get something for it, they'll get a coupon, they'll get a discount, they'll get pointed to something, they'll get advice, they'll get opinions, something different than just the pure gaming aspect of checking in, then I think they will have taken something unique as a check-in and done something different, obviously different than what Koala did, and brought it to a level where it now becomes useful. And I don't know whether it's gotten to that useful place yet, but I think that they're on their way. They haven't jumped the gap yet on it.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's sort of in the mist there of somewhat innovative, but hasn't fully delivered.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to, as we go to the end, I want to pick up on one other thing about that Cook said, because it was pretty funny. He goes, quote, he also said that innovation isn't the sort of thing that companies can schedule into their calendars. And I quote, creativity and innovation are something you can't flow chart out, he said. A lot of companies have innovation departments, and this is always a sign that something is wrong when you have a VP of innovation or something. You know, put a for sale sign on the door, unquote. And I just had a laugh at that and going, he's absolutely right. If you're not innovating through all parts of the company, you're pretty much on a dead end. And if you have to have a guy sitting there who's the innovator, it just brought to picture in my mind, like, here's this guy sitting in a back room going, I think I'll innovate today. You know, I think I'll create something great. And that's just not the way things happen.
No, and I think what that's saying as much as anything is that in your organization, you want to have a culture of innovation.
Yeah.
Which means that you are friendly to innovation, you provide sustenance for innovation. So like Google's principle of where you get some chunk of your time to do your own little project. Well, guess what? That's like, here's your free time to go play with whatever you're interested in. And hey, if you get something really cool, we might turn it into a product. Now, many companies, that is right out. You want to be at your desk, doing what you're doing it the same way you've already been doing it. Don't try to be innovative. And those are the companies that get into trouble. And I will document for the fact that I worked for a company that I think thought it was really innovative. And when I tried to be innovative and just push the envelope a little bit and use a lookup table in our GIS, and my boss said, no, do it the way we always do it, I knew I was in the wrong place.
Right.
And they went bankrupt. Now, I'm drawing a line between one little incident with me and them going bankrupt, but I wonder if there's some connection there.
Yeah, something with the culture there. Yeah. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
On next week's podcast, we'll be recapping our predictions from 2011 and making our predictions for 2013. While we ponder what our predictions will be, we would like to ask you if you have any predictions for the geospatial technology sector for 2013. Please send them to us, and the most interesting ones will be shared on next week's podcast.
And we'd like to remind you that this week we have many webinars coming your way. We have one actually today called Rapidly Deploying Location Intelligence in the Cloud. On Wednesday, we'll have Customizing Geodata. And on Thursday, What Tomorrow's GIS Workforce Needs to Know About GIS Programming. Those are all coming up this week, same geospatial time, that's 2 p.m. Eastern, and same geospatial place. As always, directionsmag.com/webinar. So register right now.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com, @directionsmag on Twitter, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted on Directions Magazine.
Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.